A fantastic Friday to each of you. Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Looking at the game against the Bucks, what stood out both positively and negatively for the Grizzlies? Plus, making up for yesterday, some trade talk Fridays. Looking at some names that may or may not make sense on different levels for the Grizzlies. And then looking at the Denver game tonight against the Denver Nuggets, a very simple strategy that is among the hardest in the NBA to execute. That and much more on today's edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Here we go.
You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Once again, hope wherever you are and wherever you are listening, you are having an outstanding start to your day. Of course, you can find the show at Locked On Grizz on Twitter, myself at StatsSAC. My name is Sean Coleman, credentialed media member with the Grizzlies. Have been covering the Grizzlies now for 4 years. Right form over at Grizzly Bear Blues, your host here at Locked On Grizzlies, your Grizzlies every day. Of course, you can find the podcast wherever it's available, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, the Odyssey app. Wherever you choose to listen to podcasts, that's where we will be. And also, right here on YouTube, hit that subscribe button below. Let us know you enjoy the show. Let others who enjoy the show find the show. Plus, anybody who loves the Grizzlies gives them an opportunity to have all the latest in-depth analysis, news, what have you, when it comes to the Memphis Grizzlies. But before we get to anything, first off, want to apologize for yesterday. Bit under the weather this week on my end, but we're powering through just like the Grizzlies, less than 100% with their roster, with several key members out. Try my best to do the same here to give you the latest when it comes to the Memphis Grizzlies. But here's what I want you to do. You wouldn't mind. As a matter of fact, I'm not going to require it of you, but I'm going to very much plead that you do this. Whatever you're doing, stop for just a second. Go to Twitter. Go to NBA.com. Go wherever you have done it before. But a mission for every person listening to this show today and every Grizzlies fan that's out there, a mission. Go vote John Morant for the All-Star Game. And while you're at it, vote Desmond Bane and Jerry Jackson Jr. to at least give them some votes. But go vote Ja Morant for the All-Star Game. The latest update yesterday showed that Ja Morant was a top 10 vote getter in this year's All-Star voting. And he has a very secure lead, 700,000 votes almost, over Luka Doncic for the final starting spot next to Steph Curry in the Western Conference backcourt. But today's the final day to go vote for Ja. And even if it's already clear that he's going to be a starter, let's not see if we can get him to 3 million votes. How exciting would that be? A Memphis Grizzlies player, not only for the second time in franchise history after Marc Gasol did it during the 2015 All-Star Game, not only is it the second time a Memphis Grizzlies player has ever started an All-Star Game, but it'll be the first time a Grizzlies player has ever got close or near, maybe even over, 3 million votes. But vote 12. Vote Ja Morant for the All-Star Game. Let's secure him that starting spot and get him as many votes as possible. Tomorrow the starters are announced. Today's your last day of voting. Make the most of it. Well, the Grizzlies on Wednesday night, in my opinion, they made the most of the opportunity that they had facing off against the Milwaukee Bucks. Listen, everybody, every team in the NBA, from their stars to the end of the bench, they have experienced some negative occurrences when it comes to COVID-19. Having players out in health and safety protocols, having players out due to injury, just capitalizing on things. So many new opportunities have been out there for G League players, former players, what have you. Shaq Harrison was just signed by the Grizzlies to a 10-day contract. So many opportunities have been out there for other players outside of the normal NBA rosters that we usually see. But for the Grizzlies, this time around, this wave of health and safety protocols really has put them in a less than ideal position because you've taken away not only a lot of shooting from the Grizzlies, but a lot of playmaking. And that really showed up on Friday night. The Grizzlies got up early. But then Giannis took over. The Bucks were able to get into their groove, and they were able to maintain the lead throughout the first half. However, in the third quarter, what did stand out, and the biggest positive of all, was that Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson themselves took over the game. 32 points for Ja Morant, 29 points for Jaren Jackson Jr. The unfortunate thing is that though they stayed close, the Grizzlies never really made it too uncomfortable for the Bucks, who were able to just stay ahead until they were able to pull away late. But when it comes to the Grizzlies, you have to be excited, right? You have to be excited about the fact that when they had to, when the Grizzlies needed their cornerstones to step up the most, Ja Morant did exactly that. 32 points, 14 assists, 8 rebounds, only 1 turnover. He's only the 6th person in NBA history, including names like Baron Davis, Gary Payton, and LeBron James, only the 6th person in NBA history to have at least 33 points, 14 assists, 8 rebounds, and 1 or less turnovers in a game. That's how rare that special of a stat line occurs. And then you've got Jaren Jackson Jr., who steps up, scores 29 points along with 4 blocks. Yes, in the first half, Jaren Jackson Jr.'s offense was not existent. But in the second half, he comes out and has one of the best offensive halves, only his second time in his career, scoring 25 or more points in a half. But he comes out in the second half and has one of the best offensive halves a Grizzlies player has had in franchise history. And you're seeing a trend of this, right? You're seeing a trend where with the Grizzlies need for their cornerstones, Ja, Jaren, Desmond Bane, when they need these players to step up, you can even include Dylan back in the playoffs. It was Ja and Dylan who stepped up against Utah. It was Ja and Desmond Bane who stepped up against Phoenix and Brooklyn when they beat them back-to-back Mondays earlier this season. Before that, Ja and Jaren combined for 32 and 26 points to beat the Jazz in Utah. And then this past Wednesday night, though the result did not end in a victory, it at least ended in the opportunity for the Grizzlies to remain competitive. So again, I talk about it almost every other episode. I talk about it almost every time the Grizzlies play now. If you want your trademark of a sustainable winner, if you want proof this team has gone from a rebuilding team to a sustainable winner, the cornerstone stepping up when it's needed is certainly an encouraging sign. But obviously, there were other reasons why, despite the success of Ja and Jaren and Brandon Clark as well, who had another outstanding game, the other thing that stood out was that the Grizzlies struggled once again from the line and from three. Beyond Ja Morant, who shot 4 of 10 from beyond the arc, the Grizzlies were 5 of 30 from 3. Ja Morant was 4 from 10. The rest of the Grizzlies roster was 5 of 30 from 3. At the free throw line, Ja and Jaren were 14 of 15 from the free throw line. The rest of the team was 3 of 10. Overall, the Grizzlies were 9 of 40 from 3, just under 25%, and they were 17 of 25 from the line. If this Grizzlies team truly wants to step forward, if they want to be in the best position they can be to not only make the playoffs, which they obviously are, but also be able to advance in the playoffs, they're going to have to shoot the three and free throws better. They absolutely are. They're going to have to give themselves a chance in those areas to be able to consistently beat these good teams as they need to in the playoffs. Yes, they've consistently been beating good teams. That certainly is a wonderful turn of events. But when it comes to Memphis and it comes to the Grizzlies, they have got to do a much better job moving forward of being able to make the most of their opportunity, which we're certainly all hoping that they do every chance that they get. That especially is the case starting tonight against the Denver Nuggets. But before we get into previewing the Nuggets, obviously Trade Talk Thursdays was supposed to be yesterday. And again, my apologies, that did not occur. But some names that stand out in this trade market, do they really make that much sense for the Grizzlies, a team that certainly has its needs, certainly from a roster standpoint and a skill set standpoint, has needs that certainly need to be filled? We'll discuss that in just a moment. But before we do, I want to talk with you about betonline.ag. Listen, the Grizzlies have been one of the best bets in the NBA over the past 6 months. But the thing that stands out is that when it comes to Memphis and when it comes to their overall ability to be able to make the most of winning basketball games, they find so many different ways to win. Well, you can go to betonline.ag with the new and updated website, go through your laptop or your mobile device, and you can actually put in the promo code LOCKEDON, and not only do you get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit, but you also have so many options yourself you can choose from. The NFL playoffs, the NBA, the NHL, whatever you choose to enjoy, betonline.ag is going to be a great place for you to do it. Again, go to betonline.ag, put in the promo code LOCKEDON, and get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. On tomorrow's edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast, we will certainly be anticipating the official announcement of Ja Morant as an NBA, not only an NBA All-Star, but an NBA All-Star starter. Plus, we'll be recapping tonight's game against the Denver Nuggets. Now, when it comes to the Grizzlies and obviously their ability to move forward, when it comes to the Grizzlies and their ability to move forward with opportunities to improve their team, the trade deadline obviously is something that stands out as a way to do exactly that. We all know that. And we know that this front office, loves the ability to be able to get creative when it comes to trades. That's why they've been able to put this roster together so quickly and be so successful. That's why they've been able to add to it with great moves on draft night and outside of draft night. This Grizzlies front office loves to get creative. And in my opinion, I think that that should continue to be something they should focus on doing. I think this Grizzlies front office should be as creative as possible to allow for itself to not only make moves that can help out the team now, but also in the future. But I do think that one thing that stands out is creativity versus consistency. And what I mean by that is that with how consistent this Grizzlies roster has been, with how consistent these players have been in their efforts, have been in their progression, have been in their improvement, as I mentioned before, they have developed. They have, you know, earned the right to see this thing through, to be able to enjoy this ride together, to see what occurs as the unit as they are now, to see how far they can go this season. And of course, as we mentioned many times before, this team hasn't even been at full strength, having its best players on the court for a long period of time, because either Dylan's been out, Ja's been out, now Desmond and Tyus and Kyle Anderson are out. It's been few and far between the times where this team has been at full strength. So yes, there are plenty of options out there when it comes to the trade deadline that makes sense for the Grizzlies to go and pursue. From a roster standpoint, you know that the Grizzlies starting lineup of Ja, Desmond, Dylan, Jaren, and Steven Adams, that's going to be their starting lineup when fully healthy. But obviously, you would love to see a closing or high leverage lineup, as I mentioned before, of, you know, I said for the longest time, Ja, Melton, Dylan, Kyle, and Jaren. Now, obviously, Desmond Bane has replaced Anthony Melton in that lineup. But you could have a closing lineup of Ja, Desmond, Dylan, Jaren, and Steven Adams, depending on the matchup. Like tonight against the Denver Nuggets, that may be a starting lineup that makes some sense if the Grizzlies have the lead against a team like the Denver Nuggets, who are very, very good at getting the ball in the basket from close range, especially, obviously, with the ability of Nikola Jokic passing the basketball. Tonight, for instance, the lineup of Ja Desmond, what I'm getting at is, on a night like tonight, if you were at full strength, it would be a night to utilize Steven Adams to help protect the paint. But a lot of other nights, when you're going to have teams that are probably going to emphasize shooting the three more, perhaps, it may make sense to go with Jaren at the five. And then you've got Ja, Desmond, and Dylan as your perimeter players. And then you need that four that you could put in there with those four other players to be a highly effective closing and high leverage lineup. And the Grizzlies have options. They have Brandon Clark. They have Kyle Anderson. But there's not to say that a Jerami Grant or a Harrison Barnes or even a Ben Simmons, those players are out there. But the thing that stands out when it comes to the Grizzlies paying that type of price for that type of upgrade, yes, in my opinion, Harrison Barnes, Jerami Grant, Ben Simmons, those three players are better than any other option that you would have to put on the roster to go with Ja, Desmond, and Jared in a closing or high leverage lineup. But the thing is that there are several factors outside of just those players making sense as a roster upgrade that would impact the Grizzlies going after them. For one, when it comes to Harrison Barnes and Jeremy Grant, you have to think long term, right? It's not just about acquiring them now, plus the benefit of having them into next year. But it's also the fact that after next year, you're probably going to have to pay either one of them upwards of $22 to $25, maybe close to $30 million over another long-term deal. I don't think that Grant or Barnes are the type of player a Grizzlies roster really can afford to pay that much when they've got their own players to pay. Plus, I think that there are other players out there that the Grizzlies could go after that would be more worth that money than a Grant or a Barnes. So that's something that comes into play when it comes to going after a Grant or a Barnes. And obviously a Ben Simmons, who not only is going to take a massive package in terms of, you know, players and picks, massive trade package to go get, but you also have him being on $35 million each year over the next 3 years that you're going to have to make room for. Can the Grizzlies make room for that type of money? Sure. That's why they have financial flexibility moving forward. But are the Grizzlies willing right now to pay a significant trade package at different levels for those three players, plus commit to the money that it's going to take to bring them in? I don't think right now is the time to do that. So from a roster needs standpoint, yes, you have a Harrison Barnes, a Jeremy Grant, a Ben Simmons that are all out there. But the Grizzlies, from a trade standpoint, they have the package, they have the trade package combinations that probably could interest those teams. But each of those teams, Jeremy Grant's price is probably going to be driven up a bit from other teams that are going to be more desperate, that are going to be more positioned to make a true title run than the Grizzlies. And obviously, the Kings and the Sixers, they have their own agendas right now, basically with each other trying to work out a deal to where Ben Simmons might be able to go to Sacramento. So not only are the Grizzlies going to have to pay a fair price for these players, they may have to pay a bit extra because the teams that have these players have other priorities outside of a Grizzlies package. So again, it comes back to the thing that we have talked about all along. The Grizzlies are not in a position. They are. Don't get me wrong. If they wanted to go overpay for a player, they could. But it doesn't make a lot of sense for the Grizzlies to overplay for a player now because they still have plenty of room to grow to become a true contender. It doesn't make sense for them to overpay for a player now in terms of a trade package while also potentially having to pay a good amount of money over time for that player as well. Those are trades that you figure out over the summer. So to that level of player, I just don't see it happening. There are reasons why. There are layers of reasons why it probably makes sense for the Grizzlies to stand pat. Now, another thing that stands out is that the Grizzlies do have skill set needs. Those players, Grant, Barnes, Simmons, those players helps out with skill sets, but they're mainly roster upgrades. Skill set upgrades, which would include shooting the three and shooting from the free throw line, that also is options that are out there as well. And you've got intriguing players, right? We've heard Miami could potentially be shopping Duncan Robinson. We've heard Portland could be interested in moving Norman Powell. It was revealed yesterday that Sacramento could be looking at moving Rashawn Holmes. All those guys are signed to reasonable long-term deals, maybe a bit inflated for Powell and Duncan Robinson, but they're signed to long-term deals. They're players either before or in their primes, and they obviously could help the Grizzlies out. But in this case, for each of these players, it's not necessarily that you would have to pay just a truly heavy trade package, but you'd have to get creative in not only making it to where they would work within your system because you already have players similar to each of them, though their skill sets would help out the Grizzlies' weaknesses of shooting the three and shooting from the free throw line. You'd have to get creative in giving them a big enough role that would warrant going to get them. Plus, obviously, each of those three players have long-term contracts that you would have to work in as well. So again, yes, you could see these players fitting a need. You could see these players clearly helping the Grizzlies out. But is the long-term commitment and the creativity of making sure they have a big enough role to warrant going to get them, is that truly worth the creativity that it would have to take to get them? Probably not. So that's why I come back to minor moves that can make sense. Someone that I have put a target on, put some emphasis on, is Kenrich Williams from the Oklahoma City Thunder. A player who is not going to be a magnificent addition. He's not going to be someone who likely is in your closing lineup, but he is someone you could bring in. You could fit into your playoff rotation if you truly wanted to go 9 or 10 deep. But the key with Williams is, if you wanted to potentially get him, and then a deal made sense to move on from a Kyle Anderson or a Tyus Jones, again, I'm not advocating for that, but perhaps it's something that makes sense. But if the Grizzlies found a favorable deal for one of their expiring contracts, they then go out and get a Kenrich Williams to come in and be able to, you know, add support this year. They also have him for $2 million next year. When you're going to have rotation minutes to fill and you're going to need a spot to be filled in the rotation, Williams is the type of profile, 6'7", who does offer good offensive upside when he's on the court. He's the type of player that you could bring in now. He may not even make that much of a difference this year. Probably wouldn't. But next year, he could definitely be a player that could play in a Taylor Jenkins rotation. Someone like him. Maybe another name that I've looked at is a Mo Bamba, but I don't think that a center is a big priority for the Grizzlies. And any type of deal that makes sense with the Magic, you're probably going to have to part ways with Steven Adams, and that doesn't make a lot of sense. So at the end of the day, a minor move to go get a shooter or a minor move to take a chance on a player that may not offer that much support now but could be a rotation member next year, that's the type of move that the Grizzlies can make, and probably someone who can play the wing and has some decent shooting upside. So my overall point is that, yes, there are plenty of players on different levels and for different reasons that make sense for the Grizzlies to go after. But it comes to creativity versus consistency. Do you get creative enough to where then you take away pieces that have played a big part in the Grizzlies consistently winning? To me, that's a hard thing to do this year, and I do feel it's less than likely for the Grizzlies to get too creative, though they can. Though that's a strength of this front office, I think at the end of the day, the consistency of the winning of this Grizzlies team this year is going to be obviously respected. You know, I'm not saying anything negative. Obviously, the front office is going to respect it. My point is that the Grizzlies front office and the franchise, they're going to put more emphasis on allowing for this current roster to see their success through this year rather than get too creative and make a major jumble that would potentially get in the way of the chemistry that is working so well on this team. And it's going to be needed tonight against a Denver Nuggets team that, though they are 23-20, they've got the current MVP leader playing at an MVP level. We'll discuss what the Grizzlies can do to potentially get a win tonight against the Nuggets. Obviously, the other thing I want to talk with you about is Built Bar. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. You can go to Built.com, put in the promo code LOCKED15, and not only get 15% off your next order of Built Bar, but you also have over 18 different flavors you could choose from. The great thing is you could have it in the morning for a snack, in the morning for breakfast, in the afternoon as a snack. And also, if you were to go to Built.com, you not only would be able to get 15% off by using the promo code LOCKED15, but once you make it a part of your day, I'm confident it's going to be there to stay. Go to Built.com, put in the promo code LOCKED15 and get 15% off your next order from Built Bar. Obviously, the NFL playoffs are here. After making Locked On Grizzlies your first listen of the day, check out the Locked On NFL podcast of your choice. So many different storylines going into the divisional round weekend. Check out Locked On NFL as your second listen of the day. Or make sure to check out the Locked On NBA podcast. All the reaction to the All-Star announcements this weekend, plus all the latest when it comes to trade rumors around the league. Check out the Locked On NBA podcast as your second listen of the day after making Locked On Grizzlies your first listen of the day. So I love doing these third segments of shows on game days where we talk about how specifically the Grizzlies could win games. But this one is going to be short and sweet. Contain Nikola Jokic. That is a nearly impossible ask. That is a truly near impossible ask. But the thing that stands out about this Grizzlies team tonight, it being able to win this game, they're going to have a similar mentality when it came to facing off against Milwaukee. They're going to have Ja and Jared have to step up for 40 or more combined points. They're going to have to play decent to good defense with Jared anchoring it as much as they possibly can. Getting turnovers, getting offensive rebounds, those things are all going to matter. But a couple of other things that really stand out is winning the three-point battle. When Denver played against Memphis earlier this year, when they came to Memphis and the Grizzlies won back-to-back games against Denver earlier this year, the Grizzlies were able to have 12 more threes in those two games than Denver. That's going to be a much bigger ask this time around with the Grizzlies being without Tyus and Desmond Bane, but it's also Dylan Brooks. But if the Grizzlies could at least find some good luck from three, if they could find some good open opportunities, Zaire in the corner, Melton finding his shot, Jared getting hot, Ja continuing, you know, from last game, some, you know, finding a few shots of his own. If the Grizzlies can collectively get in the double digits when it comes to shooting the three, I feel they still can defend enough to be able to win that part of the game. But beyond winning the three-point battle, it's winning the two-point battle as well. Winning the two-point battle also matters because Denver is second in the league when it comes to two-point field goal percentage, but they're 27th in the league when it comes to opponents' two-point field goal percentage. If the Grizzlies can focus their efforts on being able to find high percentage shots, especially away from Nikola Jokic in the paint, while also preventing cutting lanes and preventing easy looks from Denver when the Grizzlies are on defense, that'll play a big role in their efforts. Even though Nikola Jokic is clearly going to be the best big man on the court, the Grizzlies, in my opinion, do potentially have an advantage when it comes to Steven Adams and Jaren Jackson Jr. on the rebounding end in terms of defending the paint, but also in terms of setting screens and just being able to use their size to get in the paint. Because Nikola Jokic is going to have to be in one place while one of the two Grizzlies' big men are in the other. So Steven Adams stepping up his scoring ability, Jaren being able to balance out, getting into the lane, plus hitting threes, that'll certainly be a big development. But for the Grizzlies, if they can win the two-point battle, defending the lane while also producing in the lane, get that significant advantage in the paint, that could be a big difference in tonight's game, and the opportunity is certainly there. Plus, defending the three, but above all else, hitting their open shots and hitting their free throws. If the Grizzlies can do those three things, win the paint battle, defend the three, and hit open shots plus their free throws, that is what's going to help the Grizzlies win this game in terms of being big areas for Memphis to win. The other thing that would really help out is especially through Brandon Clark and De'Anthony Melton and John Conchar, though John Conchar started last time, mainly Melton and Clark along with the rest of the bench. If the Grizzlies can also not only get a significant advantage in the paint, but also a significant advantage when Jokic is not on the court through their bench, that is another big thing that can stand out as well. Again, the themes to victory in a lot of these games are the same. But if the Grizzlies can produce inside the arc, and they can especially do it with the Brandon Clark having a big game from inside the arc or De'Anthony Melton having a big game from outside the arc, if you could get a game from Melton and Clark combined, like you have from Tyus and Clark over the past 2 weeks, if you could do that from Melton and Clark this time, that would be a big step forward. But at the end of the day, the focus for the Grizzlies is containing Nikola Jokic as much as possible. If the Grizzlies can do that, though Ja Morant's probably going to have a bit harder time to find success tonight, especially if the Nuggets were to put Aaron Gordon on him. If the Grizzlies can find success tonight, limiting Jokic at the very least just a tiny bit, and then win the paint battle, defend the three, win the non-Jokic minutes, and hit open shots, Memphis should be able to win this game. And it needs to be a big win for Memphis as they're playing against another Western Conference opponent. It would allow for them to get another tiebreaker when it comes to the Western Conference playoff picture before they have a big game on Sunday against Luka Doncic and the Mavericks. And that's what will be on our show tomorrow. Not only discussing the potential announcement and official, hopefully, announcement of Ja Morant as an All-Star NBA starter, we'll look at the Mavs game against the Grizzlies. Their final matchup of the season, a big one with how well each team is playing. We'll look at that tomorrow on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Until then, have a great Friday. Enjoy the game against the Nuggets tonight. Vote Ja today, plus Jaren, plus Desmond. And make sure you have a great Friday. We'll talk to you again soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.